Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bible and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is what we're going to be looking at tonight. I want to just make mention of it here this morning. And this is where we really find the teaching on faith, promise, mission, giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This is grace giving. How that in great trial of affliction, we have no idea the trials that these churches were going through. Great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy. So in affliction, in trial, in adversity, in suffering, in persecution, they had joy. That's an amazing thing. But it goes on here. It says, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their what? Liberality. I guess that's one area in which it's good to be liberal. It's in the area of your giving. But listen, in deep poverty, we have no idea here in America what deep poverty is. Like I told you, I've been in 11 different countries, many of those countries in Asia. I've seen deep poverty. But we have no idea what it is. You know, we talk about, we have so many Americans today in poverty. Really? I mean, if you're in need in America, you can get a bridge card. You can get help from the government. You're not going to go hungry. We have no idea what deep poverty is. But in the face of deep poverty, they gave liberally to missions. Now, again, that sounds absolutely impossible. How can you give liberally when you don't even have enough money coming in to meet your own basic needs? It's impossible. So I begin to think about missions, and I begin to think about reaching every creature on the face of the earth and think about mission giving, and it's just an impossible thing. But I'm here to tell you today, we serve a God who is the God of the impossible. And what I'm going to preach, that was all introduction of what I'm going to preach this morning. And I entitled the message today, with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may remember the Christmas story. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her that she is going to conceive the Christ child within her womb. And she says, how can this be? This is impossible. I have never known a man. And then the angel tells her how this is going to happen, how she's going to conceive the Christ child by the Holy Spirit. And then the angel says, with God, Mary, nothing shall be impossible. Do you really believe that? That with God, nothing shall be impossible. Another portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 18, verse 27. And he said, Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So what I want to do this morning, the time that I have remaining, and I made sure I found the biggest glass that you had in the church to hold my water, because when my water's done, my preaching's over. Now, oh, this is us. The second glass. This is for overtime. Okay. But what I want to do this morning is share with you what I believe from the Scriptures, what I believe are seven keys to turning the impossible into the possible. Turning the impossible into the possible. Number one, and then the rest of the other six are going to emerge from this one, is we have to believe the promises of God. We as God's people, we as fundamentalists, we do not believe the promises of God. Do we really believe? You all said yes to it, but do you really believe that with God all things are possible? Do you really believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do you really believe that? I think of Hebrews chapter 11 and the heroes of faith that were able to do unbelievable, incredible, impossible things, and they make it into the hall of faith. The Bible says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, those who I'm going to mention right here, obtained a good report. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Our whole goal in life, the whole purpose for our existence and our salvation was to please the Lord. Revelation 4:11 said that He created all things for His pleasure. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Our whole focus in life should be on pleasing the Lord, but we cannot please the Lord without faith. Remember what the disciples said? Lord, increase our faith. When was the last time you asked the Lord to increase your faith, to allow you personally to see an impossible situation with men turn into a possibility with God? You see, the world needs to see that God is a living God and can do impossible things. Why do we have so many of our young people grow up in our fundamental churches and they leave the church never to come back? Because they don't see the reality of a living God. They don't see God doing the impossible. And the reason why they don't see it is because of us. I think of what it says, I believe it's Psalm, you can correct me, Pastor, but I believe it's in Psalm chapter 38, where it talked about all the wonders and the miracles and the amazing things that God did for the nation of Israel and how He wanted to do even more than what He had done for His people of old. But it says this, but they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's an amazing statement. By our lack of faith, we can limit God from doing the impossible. There in Hebrews chapter 11, and I wish I had time and I don't, but it says, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses, by faith the children of Israel, by faith Rahab the harlot, by faith they did absolutely impossible things that no one but God could do. And so they make it into the hall of faith. But then Hebrews chapter 11, it doesn't end. He said, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Their women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonments, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. I love it. Of whom the world was not worthy. These all, having obtained a good report through faith. What is that impossible situation that God has allowed into your life that you think it'll never be resolved, it'll never come to an end? There's no answer even possible in this situation. I'm here to tell you today, God is the God of the impossibility. I could never give that much to missions. I could never go to the mission field. God is the God of the impossibility. When I think of the promises of God, I think that the promises of God are really His revelation to us. And they are His revelation to us of His will, of His design, of His purpose for our lives. The Bible says, so my word be that goeth forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. This is what I believe, that faith in the revelation of God, in the promises of God, in the word of God, true faith will produce obedience. Yes or no? You put your faith in it, you will then act upon it, because faith without works is what? Faith without works is? So true faith always works. True faith is always active. True faith is always expressed through obedience. And I believe this, listen to me, I think this is going to help you today. When we act in obedience to the will of God, God will allow the impossible to become the possible in your life. Say, well, where's a verse for that? You sound like a charismatic preacher up there. Why have we forfeited some of these great truths of Scripture to the charismatics, and so we stay away from them? The Bible says in 1 John 3:22, listen, it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Do not the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the face of the whole earth to show Himself strong, doing the impossible on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. I personally believe that the reason that we are not seeing the impossible becoming the possible is because of our lack of faith and our lack of obedience. Thus, we are limiting the Holy One of Israel. Hebrews says this, using Abraham as an example again. For when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, more willingly and more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise, that's us, to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. What does immutability mean? It means God doesn't change. It means God's true to his word. It means that God is God. And what God has promised, he is able to perform. That's what immutability means. And then it goes on and says, and that by two immutable things, the only two things that I can think that never change are God's person and God's promise. I don't care what your situation is. God's person and God's promise doesn't change because of your situation. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I thank God that I can stand before you today, the authority of Scripture, and say, you can be sure by these two immutable things that God will always be true to his word. Are you with me, church? He will always be true to his word. Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. How many of you here have ever lied? Oh, come on, the rest of you liars, get your hand up. You know, the most spiritual church I've ever seen in my life. The preacher raised his hand. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said? Hath he not said with men, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible? Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall, I love this statement, shall he not make it good? And I'm not telling you to be reckless, foolish, and stupid. What I am telling you to do is get a word from God. And it may appear to be an impossible thing, but if you get a word from God and you get into this book, I'm here to tell you, I know from experience what God has promised, he is able to perform. I got to pull Abraham out again, and I'm going long on this first point, but I'll run through the next six. Abraham, there was a period of time in his life where he wasn't strong in faith, where God had made a promise to him, and he listened to his wife. Now, I'm not saying it's always a mistake to listen to your wife, okay? I'm not saying that, but he listened to his wife, and you know the story. He takes Hagar, and he has a son, Ishmael, and we're still struggling with that issue today. But you know, Abraham came to repentance. And faith was rekindled in his heart. And listen to what it says. It says, who, referring to Abraham, who hoped, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. And then it says this, he came to the point where he was no longer weak in faith, but he had to consider his own body dead, and Sarah's womb was dead. See, God had to wait till there was no possibility that Abraham and Sarah could have a child before God turned the impossible into a possible. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. I'm going to tell you, it's impossible for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to have a child. You believe that? Say amen. No, it's not. It is impossible with men. But it is not impossible with God. But listen to what he said. He staggered not at the promises of God through his unbelief. At one time he did have unbelief. He messed up big time. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. I'm going to jump ahead in my message because I don't know how much more time I got here. But listen, if it's possible with men, God doesn't get the glory. Man gets the glory. We were able to do this. We were able to accomplish this. We were able to succeed in that endeavor. But when it's impossible with men, and it happens anyway, guess who gets all the glory for that? So to see the impossible turn into a possible, you have to become men and women of faith. Number two, you have to pray with effectual, fervent prayer. You have to be men and women of faith, but you also have to pray with effectual, fervent prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? does amazing things. And then it uses the example of Elijah. He was a man, the Bible says, subject unto like passions, just like we are. But he prayed. Listen, but he prayed. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. God did the impossible because there was a man who prayed. I think of the woman who went before the unjust judge. Everyone said, don't even bother going. This is impossible. This guy will never listen to you. This judge is just like most of the judges in America today. Unjust. Wicked. Why could I get going on that one right now? Overturning the will of the people and legitimizing same-sex marriage. God help us. But she said, no, I'm going anyway. And she went and she went and she went. She was passionate. She was fervent. She didn't quit. And finally, he did what? Finally, he did what everyone said he would never do. He granted her request. And Jesus told us, don't quit praying. Pray fervently. Pray passionately. Think of the little boy that was a lunatic, much like many of your boys in your Christian school. Demon-possessed, flinging and flailing themselves around all the time. But here's this little boy. His dad, anytime he took the little boy out, he had to have the little boy tethered. Well, we do that with our kids, too. Okay. And this little boy would, there would be a fire, and this little boy would just throw himself into a fire. Or there'd be enough water to drown yourself, and this little boy would run and try to drown himself. Let me ask your parents, would that break your heart? And this little boy did this because he was demon-possessed. The disciples tried to cast a demon out of this little boy, and they were totally and completely unsuccessful. They cast other demons out, but this demon they couldn't cast out. It must have been a really powerful demon. And they came to the Lord Jesus, and they were quite embarrassed, you know, because they couldn't do it. It was a public setting they were in. And they come to the Lord Jesus, and they said, man, we tried everything. We can't cast this demon out. And Jesus said this, you couldn't cast it out because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove into yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So they look at the Lord Jesus, they say, well, but we couldn't do it. They certainly were invoking Jesus' name, doing everything that they had done before in the casting out of demons and had been successful. They had seen the Lord Jesus do it on a number of different occasions, but this time they couldn't. And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. See, sometimes the impossible never becomes a possible because we don't fast and pray as we should. Number three, third thing that we need to do to see the impossible become the possible is that we need to praise and worship God while we're in the impossible situation. Listen, don't ever stop praising and worshiping God. One man said this, in our praise and worship, we look by faith past the impossible situation to the God of the possibility. Listen, don't ever forget, how many times have I said this, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Paul and Silas, arrested for preaching the gospel, they are beaten to a pulp. They are cast into the dungeon. I mean, the lowest chamber of the prison. Are you still with me? They are locked up in stocks. So their head is locked. Their arms are locked. Their feet are chained. And what are they doing? The Bible says, Acts 16, 25 and 26, it says they are praising and praying and worshiping God. And an impossible thing happened. What happened, church? They were loosed. Not only were they loosed, all the prison doors came open. And not only that, the most impossible thing happened, all the prisoners stayed put. I don't think that would happen over here next door. But it must have looked like an impossible situation for them. But you know what they did? They just continued to praise God. You know, a lot of times we do, we get bitter. We get angry. We get upset. We leave the church. We walk away from God. And God, if you would have just continued to praise, and you would just continue to worship, God was about to turn that whole thing around. Psalm 149, we don't have time, seriously. Psalm 149 is all about powerful enemies coming against the children of Israel. And how that in and of themselves, they did not have the strength to defeat these powerful enemies. But they praised and they worshiped in the face of adversity. Listen to what it says. In verse 9, it says this, and God gave them the victory. But in verse, are you still with me all here? In verse 9, it says this. This honor, the honor of seeing God turn the impossible into the possible, this honor have all of His saints. God wants to honor every one of you who are His children with having you see the impossible becoming the possible if you'll just keep praising and worshiping the Lord. Number four, we have to express positive attitudes of faith in the face of the impossible. That's hard to do, but we have to express positive attitudes of faith in the face of the impossible. If ye have faith as a grain of a what? Mustard seed. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So think about this with me. Do we have to believe that our prayers are going to be answered? If we don't believe our prayers are going to be answered, then why pray? Remember how the church was praying for Paul's release from prison? He comes and knocks on the door while they're praying for his release. Were they really praying in faith? Wasn't it a little girl? Come on, preacher, you know your... Peter? Was it Peter? Oh, thank you. It just came to my mind. I hadn't had time to look it up. I'll look to you. So Peter, the little girl runs back. What does she say? Peter's at the door, and what do they say? Oh, he's not. That shows you how far back the Baptist church goes. Listen, we have to believe that God answers prayer. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And again, if we really want to see the glory of God, we have to have positive expressions of faith. Think of the Lazarus situation. When he heard that Lazarus was dead, why did he not go immediately? Why did he wait so long? Why did he show up after Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days? And his sister says, Lord, if you would have been here. Martha, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. He's been dead 4 days, and by now he stinketh. She said exactly what I was waiting for. I was waiting for him to stink before I did the... Jesus was making sure that he was dead, and that everyone knew he was dead. And Jesus said this to her, if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. Are we not to bring God glory in and through our lives? Let's start having some more positive expressions of faith. Am I supposed to be done at 12? Okay. I think another thing that we need to do, this is number 5, we need to proclaim our faith verbally. It's one thing to have faith just personally, you know, and no one else knows about it. When was the last time you proclaimed your faith publicly? So here's an impossible situation. You got a revelation from God. Say, I'm going to keep this to myself just in case it doesn't work out. How many have ever done that? Come on, just keep this to myself. Because if I tell everyone and it doesn't happen, wow, will I ever be embarrassed then? Have you ever done that, Pastor? Yep. Apostle Paul said this, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. How many remember the Apostle Paul headed to Rome? He's on a ship. A big storm comes up. Big storm. They're in this storm. They know they're going to be dashed against the reef. And they know they are all going to die. So the first day they take and they throw everything out of the ship. Try to lighten the load. Storm didn't stop. On the third day they start tearing down all the tackle. These people are desperate. They throw all the tackle out of the ship. Anything they could do, they're throwing it out of the ship, and the ship is breaking up. And Paul goes to sleep, and he gets a vision. And the vision that he gets is a revelation from God. And the angel told him, listen, Paul, nothing's going to happen. Everybody is going to be saved alive. Was that an impossible situation? They knew they all were going to die. Paul comes out of that. He stands before you. Hey, guys, I need all your attention right here. He is not ashamed to proclaim the revelation that God gave him publicly. He said, guys, I want you all to know, listen, no one's going to lose their life. Now here's this terrible storm. The ship is breaking up. Pieces of the ship are breaking up as he's saying this. It talks about how dark it was and the tempest that there was. But Paul said, this is what he said, for I believe God. And God told me not one of us are going to die. And there was a centurion that was touched by what Paul said, was touched by his words. See, if we don't express it with our words, other people are not going to be touched. Expressed it. The centurion said, okay, everyone that can swim, jump and start swimming. The rest of you who can't swim, grab a board or grab a plank or grab a piece of the ship. Every one of those men made it safely to shore. The only reason they did is because there was a man that had enough faith to proclaim his faith publicly. The sixth thing, if you want to see God turn an impossible into a possible, you have to start living a sanctified life. When I'm talking about living a sanctified life, I'm talking about living a holy life, a righteous life. I'm talking about living a life of moral purity. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. I see how well you know your Bible. When Joshua is about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, what did he say to them the day before they were to enter the promised land? What did he say? sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God is going to do wonders among us. Those wonders were impossible things. If the priests first would not have sanctified themselves, starts with the pulpit. If the priests wouldn't have sanctified themselves and the people would not have sanctified themselves, God would not have been able to do an impossible thing. And the impossible thing is that he dried up the Jordan River. That just doesn't happen. But that was the barrier to them entering the promised land. God had to dry it up, and God dried it up, and they walked through on dry ground, and they come to the first city, and the first city is Jericho. And it's a walled city. It's a fortified city. They said the walls of Jericho were so wide that six chariots could ride breadthwise around the top of that wall. They didn't have an army. They didn't have a military. They had no weapons. They were slaves that had just come out of Egypt and had been wandering in the wilderness. And God said, walk around the city one time, first day. One time the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. On the seventh day, walk around the city seven times. Have the priests blow the trumpet and shout. Can I tell you something? That's not a good plan for defeating a city. I wish the Bible would have told us what they shouted. I love it when it says, for the sword of the Lord in Gideon. What did they shout? I have no idea what they shouted. Praise God, amen, hallelujah, I don't know. But the walls came down. All except the portion that belonged to Rahab the harlot. If you want to see God do the impossible, you need to start living a sanctified life. And the last thing, I'll leave you with this. If you want to see God do an impossible thing, don't ever run ahead of God. Learn how to wait on the Lord. We get so impatient with God. How many times does the Bible say, wait on the Lord, wait patiently unto Him? Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither have seen, their eyes seen, O God, besides Thee. Listen, what He hath prepared for those that wait for Him. How many of us, be honest with me, we have messed our lives up because we saw an impossible thing that we thought there's no way this will ever work out. And so in our own power, we tried to work it out. We ran ahead of the Lord and we blew it big time. Wait on the Lord and He shall bring it to pass. I believe this. I believe that waiting is the greatest expression of faith that we can. Believe the promises of God. Pray with effectual, fervent prayer. Praise and worship even in the face of the impossibility. Express positive attitudes of faith. Proclaim those positive attitudes of faith publicly. Live a sanctified life and be patient and wait on the Lord to bring it to pass.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.